Well, good morning, church. You know, we're here for a reason, and one reason only, and that is to serve and to praise and to uplift a risen Saviour in Jesus Christ. You know, we do serve a God who loves us. We serve a God whose love that we cannot even fathom in our mortal mind. You know, I'd just like to share, actually Henry, before I start, I just got thinking about Mongolia as you were talking about it there before. Just let me share just 1 minute, 30 seconds about Mongolia. And that is, in a country of 3.5 million people, less than 2% are Christians. So you have an idea of the work that is needed to be done there. And I can tell you now that the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which has relatively new beginnings there, 1992, and communism left the country. They're doing a great work there. And God's word is spreading in a great way, a mighty way. We are gaining the people's trust, meeting their needs, and then the Lord is opening up doors for us to share his word. So we had a wonderful time there. We're off to PNG next week for 3 weeks, and we're running a mission up there in the Central Highlands of Papua New Guinea. And to a lot of people up there who some still haven't heard the word of God. So let me tell you this morning, folk, that the Holy Spirit is working. There are people out there, I can tell you with great assurance, who are searching for the word of God. People, whether you're a Christian or not, they know that something's happening. They can see it by just reading the papers. They can see it by just looking at signs and things that are happening around them. They know the world cannot go on the way it is. And these are non-Christian people speaking. I'm around them all every day of the week. And they also realize something's got to give. And the beautiful thing about it, and particularly my job, is God opens doors up for me to be able to share with these men who I believe are just unpolished diamonds. All they need is polishing. That's all they need. I can tell you, these men that I meet, they've been going, if they find the Lord Jesus Christ, they will become mighty workers for God. I can tell you now. And you young men, I did forget your name, sorry, I'm terrible with names.
Kevin,
and where's that other young fellow? Where is he?
He's at
out the back. I just want to tell you, mate, that God is going to use young people, young men like you, to spread his word in the days that we live. Because I can tell you now, brother, Jesus is coming. So get ready, mate. He's coming. And like I always say, whether you're ready or not, or whether you want him to or not, he's coming. You know, we do serve a God whose love is so great for each and every one of us. Let me start with a story. The story is told of an Afro-American back in the slave days, way down south in the American states. He was put up on the auction dock. This American slave, Afro-American man, he was big, he was muscly, he was strong. And they put him up on the dock to be sold at auction as a slave. He had shackles around his legs, he had shackles around his neck. And the whole time he was screaming, "I will not work for any man. I will not work for any man." He got up the front there, and they all knew, the buyers all knew, that they're going to have to bid high to win this man. Young, strong. And as he stood there, paraded before the buyers, the price kept getting higher and higher and higher. Until one man stepped in, and all the while this man, this slave, was shouting, "I will not work for any man. You may flog me, you may beat me, you may do whatever you want, but I will not work for any man." He's screaming so loud that you see the veins popping out in his neck. And then this one man steps in and he paid the highest price ever for a slave. So, the owner of the plantation took him down, put him in the horse and buggy, took him back to his plantation. But along the way, he kept yelling at his new master, "I will not work for you, no matter what you do to me. You can take everything from me, you can even take my life, but I'm not going to work for you." And on their journey back home, he stopped. He stopped outside this house with beautiful gates, a long driveway, and a beautiful mansion there. And he said, "This is where you are living," to his slave. The slave looked at his master and said, I'm telling you, I'm not going to work for you. And he says, this is your new home. And taking the shackles off his neck and taking the shackles off his legs, he said, I have paid the price for you. You are free from the bondage of sin. You are a free man. This is where you are living. The love Jesus has for you and I, brothers and sisters. He broke the shackles of sin in our lives. And why? Because of his love for you and I. You know, they say there's two things that are certain in life, death and taxes. Well, they're not certain, because I know some countries that do not pay taxes. And I know the Bible clearly states that there are going to be some people who do not see death. But I can tell you one thing that's 100% certain in my mortal mind is that Jesus loves you and me. And he loves everybody that he created. That is 100% certainty. I can tell you that now. Let me just say, early writings. I tell you what, folk, I've been reading early writings. One of Ellen White's books. Sorry, folk, I make no apologies for quoting Sister White's writings. I'd like to share early writings, page 149. If you have it, go home and read this particular passage for yourselves. Yes, she is the lesser light. She writes, early writings, page 149. She's talking about the plan of salvation. She was taken to the kingdom, the throne room of heaven. And she saw Jesus approach, an exceedingly bright light which enshrouded the Father. The angel accompanying her said, he is in close communion with his Father. He's in close converse with his Father. She says three times she watched, he was shut in by the glorious light which surrounded the Father. The third time he came from his Father and his person could be seen. Jesus told them, the angels, he would stand between the wrath of his Father and man. That's what the angel said to her. Then the angel said, think ye the Father yielded up his dearly beloved Son without a struggle? Do you think so? No. No, the angel said. The God of heaven was in a struggle with whether to destroy humanity. But he accepted Jesus' plea on our behalf. And why? Because of his love for us. Sorry, folks, get excited about the Word of God. But that's what he entered the Father's presence. And he said, Father, I love these people. I love these people. And here's the Father, his only Son, thinking you're my only Son. Yeah, but Father, I love these people. Send me, because I love them. And the Father said, yes, go. Well, it must have been so hard. We often think of the price that Jesus paid, but we so many times forget the price that the Father in heaven paid by letting his one and only Son go. That's the type of God we serve. That's the type of love he has for us. And I tell you a favor, Jesus loves us that much, the Father loves us that much, we should in turn love others the same. And yes, it is hard. It's hard being a Christian sometimes. I often say, my dad said to me once, you know, you have to have thick skin to be a Christian. And the longer I live in my young life at the moment, the more I understand that. More understanding. Let us pray. Father in heaven, yes, indeed, Father, you are a loving God. And we lay testimony to the fact that we are sitting here today. It's only because of your love, your grace, and your mercies. As we just spend a small time with you this morning, Lord, give us discernment. Give us understanding. May our hearts be open to the hearing of your word. And the words that I speak be not from me, but they be from you, Lord. And that we will leave this house of worship today knowing you better. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Where's my little glass of water? Here we go. You know, the Bible is full of interesting characters. Do you agree? And one gentleman in particular, I believe, stands out, and that is Enoch. He was the father of who? Who's the oldest man to ever walk the planet Earth that we know of? And how long was Methuselah when he... 969 years. Now, can anybody tell me here, did they celebrate birthdays back then the way they do today with a candle? I don't know. Can you imagine 969 candles on a cake? It'd be a big cake. What about the amount of oxygen just to blow those candles out? But yeah, 969 years, Methuselah. What about Enoch, his father? How long did he live? Huh? How long was he here on this earth before God what? How old was he? How long was he? How old was he? Thanks, bro. Any guesses? In the 300s? Yes, who said that? Yes, 365 years before God actually took him away. As we know, the story of Enoch, he did not experience death. But this sermon this morning is not about longevity of life. It's not about life. It's not about those things. I want to speak to you today about the day Enoch chose to be the spiritual leader of his home and the characteristics that he exhibited as being that spiritual leader of his household. That's what I'm going to speak about this morning. If you have your Bibles with me, come to the book of Genesis. I'm reading from the NIV, Genesis chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 21 through to 24. Good to hear those pages turning. You know, we used to be called the Bible Church. But obviously technology has changed these days. And let me tell you something, folks. Please do not be too quick to jump on our young people when you see them on their phones in churches, because they've got these things called Bible apps. So give them the benefit of the doubt sometimes. I heard a preacher get up and say one day, he was preaching this great sermon and his daughter was in the front seat on a phone. And, you know, that's all he could think of. What is she doing on the phone? Here, I'm trying to preach, he was saying. He got through the sermon all the while. He's got his daughter in the back of his mind. He's thinking, wait till I get her outside. I can give her a what for? Sermon finished. He's doing all the courtesies at the door. He walks outside, says, sweetheart, come here. Grabs and says, what do you think you were doing? You were on the phone the whole time during the sermon. Dad, look, I was on the phone. The Bible app, I was looking up all your verses that you were quoting. So please, don't be too hard on our young people when you see them on the phone. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Because I've been there with my son, and it's happened to me too. So yeah, let's read. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through to 24. NIV says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of who? Methuselah. That's quite understandable, easy to understand. Verse 22, and after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God, what does it say? 300 years and had other sons and daughters. That's straightforward too. Verse 23, altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Verse 24, Enoch walked with who? Then he was no more because what? God took him away. Now, gents, I'm looking at the gentleman here in this congregation today. You know, and the purpose of this message today is quite simple. It is to challenge each and every one of you men, and myself including,
to become that spiritual leader of our home. Men usually need some significant event in their lives to occur before they will become the spiritual leader of the home. It's as plain and simple as that. When Enoch had lived 65 years, in verse 21, it says, he became the father of Methuselah. And then listen, in verse 22, he says, and after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, and it says he had other sons and daughters. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us much about Enoch, but it tells us enough to say that he did not walk with God for the first 65 years of his life completely. However, there was something about the birth of his son that changed his life. There was something significant about the birth of his son that caused him to become the spiritual person that pleased God so much that God took him away to heaven. The Bible clearly states here that after the birth of his son, it says he walked with who? God. Perhaps it was because he almost lost his child at birth. Perhaps it was almost he lost his wife at childbirth. I don't know. There is some significant event that happened to Enoch that caused him to become the spiritual leader of his home. And I think that is so true today about how men become the spiritual leader of their home. Usually there is some significant event that makes them grow up, some significant event that changes them from being boys to men, some significant event that changes them from being spiritually disinterested to being the spiritual leaders of their home. That significant event might be that God has set them free from an addiction. I don't know. That significant event might even be that a close loved one has died, or a near-death experience. That significant event for that man to grow up and become from a boy to a man might be when their spouse comes home and says to them, I do not love you anymore. Get out. As men, we all have some type of significant event in our lives. And my question is, have you allowed a chance to change your life? Or have you just gone on as usual? Women, listen to this too. If a man is to become the spiritual leader of his home, he will have to ask himself this question: on what path am I leading my family down? Clearly states in verse 22, and after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Enoch knew, plain and simple, that he was responsible for the spiritual condition of his family. He knew that one day he'd come before the judgment seat of God and give an account to God as to why he led his family. You are not going to be able to pass it off, gentlemen. You're not going to pass up and say to God, mate, I let my wife take care of that. No. You, us, me, men, we're responsible for the spiritual condition of our family. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be given according to what we have done. Romans 14, 12 says, so that each of us, not some of us, but each of us shall give an account of himself to God. And let me tell you, gentlemen, we are not going to be able to break that appointment. We're not going to be able to break that appointment. We are going to have to give an account to God as to the way we led our family, gents. Enoch had to ask himself that question: on what path am I leading my family down? Because he changed paths at the age of 65. Some significant event occurred in his life and made him ask himself, on what way am I leading my family? And he discovered that he was on the wrong path. He got off it and got onto the right path. Enoch wasn't too proud to admit that he was wrong. Enoch wasn't too stubborn to say, to stay on the wrong path, sorry. Especially when he discovered that he was on the wrong path. Enoch wasn't too embarrassed to say that he was wrong for the first 65 years of his life. Enoch said, after the birth of his son, I am going to walk with God. Gentlemen, listen, finding the right path to walk on, the path that God is on, is not the hard thing. That's not the hard thing. The hard thing is making the choice to change the path. Enoch made the hard choice and changed his path that he was on. And the benefit, listen, gentlemen, the benefit of Enoch outweighed the choice. Methuselah, his son, his firstborn son, never knew of a time when his daddy did not walk with God. What an upbringing this man must have had. What an upbringing in his siblings to see his father, Enoch, walk with God on a daily basis. What a beautiful upbringing this man would have had in his brothers and sisters. Some of you gentlemen in the room today, including myself, know that we're on the wrong path. And you've got to make the hard decision to get off the path and get on the path that God's on. If a man is to be the spiritual leader of his home, he cannot walk ahead of God. And he cannot walk behind God. He must walk with God. I just want to go quickly through verse 23 and 24 again of Genesis chapter 5. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. And you come down to verse 24, Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. In this short passage of scripture, twice, the Holy Spirit tells us that Enoch walked with God. The emphasis is walking with God. You know, folks, I've actually sat in a car park of a shopping center. I've watched the entrance. I've watched couples, whether it be husbands or wife or partners. And you know one thing I did observe? Very few, I noticed, were walking together. Either one in front of the other. They're not walking together. Enoch walked side by side with God. You know, there are dangers in trying to walk ahead of God. There are dangers in trying to walk behind God. What about trying to walk in front of God? Some of the dangers, look at Moses. Classic example, brothers and sisters. He thought the time was right to free the children of Israel of Egyptian bondage. What did he do? He killed that Egyptian. Where did he spend the next 40 years? Spending out in the desert, contemplating what he had done until God called him. Now is the time. Moses, go back in. And what about walking behind God? What about the dangers of walking behind God? Jonah's a classic example. What did he say? God came to Jonah and said, listen, go to those people, Nineveh. You need to talk to those people. I want to save them, otherwise they're going to destroy those people. What did Jonah do? Hiked it up in the wrong direction, the opposite direction. We know what happened to him. Big storm come up, they threw him over. And where did he spend the next 3 days contemplating what he had done? Where did he spend the next 3 days? In the belly of a whale. The result of walking behind God. Gents, this morning, let's make the decision today to walk beside God and with God. When we take that mantle of being the spiritual leader of the home. Now, gents, if your family's in a big mess, let me tell you where the problem is. The problem is with the dad. You know, I'm telling you this sermon, gents, because this is me. I'm telling you this sermon because this is me. The problem's with the dad. If you tell me your family has got big problems, then I must tell you that your dad, that your father, including myself, we're either trying to walk ahead of God or we're walking behind God. We are not walking with God. Gentlemen. If a man is to be the spiritual leader of his home, he needs to know where he's heading so he can lead his family there too. Verse 24 said again in chapter 5 of Genesis, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. You know, folk, now I'm going to tell you a story here. It's not to frighten anybody. Because if you're frightened, you won't get to heaven. It's not to frighten anybody. I was reading an article in the paper some time ago about suicide. And there was a story of a young lady there. Well, sorry, a story told of a young lady. How she committed suicide in the restroom of a Sydney airport. And I tell you this story because I believe describes the principle perfectly, Jensen. I'm trying to get across to you this morning. This young girl left behind a suicide note. On it, she thanked her mother for being a good mother, but when she wrote, I quote, she says, "Tell my wicked daddy I will meet him in hell." That's the bare fact, gents. Fathers, we, gentlemen, we are leading our family somewhere. On what path are we leading him? Enoch walked with God, who is no more, because God took him away. Methuselah lived 969 years and he died. Let me tell you something about that man, Methuselah. You know, I'm no judge, I'm no juror, I don't decide who's going to get in heaven, but I can tell you that there's a 99.9% chance in my human mind that Methuselah is going to be in heaven. Why? Because of his father. His father. He never knew of a time when his daddy did not walk with God. I'd like to finish off on The Adventist Home, another one of Ellen White's books, The Adventist Home. Please, if you have that book in your home, I urge you to read it. Take hold of it and read it, The Adventist Home. Page 220 to 221. Take the reference, folks, and go home and read it for yourself. Read the whole chapter. It's beautiful. The Adventist Home, page 220 to 221, and she writes, she's talking about fathers here. "Fathers should unbend from their false dignity, deny themselves some self-gratification in time and leisure in order to mingle with their children, sympathizing with them in their little troubles, binding them to their hearts." So sympathizing with them in their little troubles, binding them to their hearts by the strong bonds of love, and establishing such an influence over their ever-expanding minds that their counsel will be regarded as sacred. That's a mouthful. It goes on to say, "The father may exert an influence over his children which shall be stronger than the allurements of the world. He should study their disposition and character of the members of his little circle, that he may understand their needs and their dangers and thus be prepared to repress the wrong and listen to encourage the right." What a duty we as fathers, we as men have. Yes, indeed, mothers play such an important role. You go on the next chapter of that book and talks about the mother's role in the house. But let me tell you, gentlemen, when we take the mantle of being spiritual leaders of the house, we are going to be accountable one day to the spiritual condition of our family. So you young men who haven't had a family, wise counsel, read Ellen White, The Adventist Home. Wise counsel. My question to you, gents, today, is on what path are you leading your family? Let us pray. Father in heaven, you have given us as men a solemn responsibility. When we take that mantle of being the spiritual leader of our household, Lord, I just pray for each man in this room this morning. Lord, I lift them before you, and that the desires of their heart may be first and foremost to follow you and to take on that mantle of being the spiritual leader of their household. Lord, it's not easy. It never is easy sometimes when we say, "I'm going to stand for you, Jesus, no matter what the cost." But help each man in this room to understand that you are all powerful, you are all conquering, you are all loving, and you have promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, bless each man in this house today and their families they represent. And as we face the future that lies ahead, We know that you are coming soon. Times will get worse, and it's going to be more than ever for the men in their house to lead the way in regards to our children. Lord, give us that strength and courage on that day to be accountable to you. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.